Beijing said that for 50 years, they'd give the people of Hong Kong a high degree of autonomy. And you all have seen what's happened after only 23 years.
The call is dropped between Britain and China. It's Wednesday, July 15th. This is VOA Asia. I'm Jim Stevenson in Washington. Join us as well on Facebook at VOA Asia, Instagram, Twitter, and YouTube. Also ahead, more on the plight of international students, virus pollution on the rise, the business of Asia, health concerns for women and children, and more. It's all on today's VOA Asia. British officials are bracing for fierce Chinese government reaction and possible retaliation to Britain's decision Tuesday to block Chinese tech giant Huawei from playing any role in the development of Britain's next-generation 5G phone network. Britain's Culture Minister Oliver Dowden told the House of Commons of the decision to banish Huawei from the network, saying the company's components, already installed, will have to be removed from the network by 2027. The major policy U-turn is prompting fears in Downing Street that Britain may become the target of a possible China-sponsored cyber attack, similar to one that struck Australia last month amid heightened tensions between Canberra and Beijing. Meanwhile, there are growing calls among British lawmakers for Chinese officials to become the next target of sanctions against human rights abusers, including the chief executive of Hong Kong, Carrie Lam. As Henry Ridgewell reports, Western nations are ratcheting up their response to Beijing's recent imposition of a security law in Hong Kong, which severely limits the right to protest and criticize the government.
A show of support for democracy in Hong Kong, as more than 500,000 people voted in weekend primaries to choose opposition candidates for September's elections. It's 2 weeks since Beijing imposed the national security law, and many residents fear their basic freedoms are being taken away.
I do hope that the international community would see how our solidarity and would stand with us and help us, hopefully.
Western countries are taking an increasingly tough stance on Beijing, but it's not clear how much help they can offer the people of Hong Kong. Britain signed an international treaty with China when it handed over the territory in 1997, purportedly guaranteeing Hong Kong's political freedoms for 50 years. Britain and its allies say China's new law breaks that agreement.
Beijing said that for 50 years, they'd give the people of Hong Kong a high degree of autonomy. And you all have seen what's happened after only 23 years. Empty promises made to the people of Hong Kong and to the world.
Australia last week suspended its extradition treaty with Hong Kong and announced visa extensions and a pathway to citizenship for Hong Kong passport holders in Australia. That mirrors Britain's citizenship offers for overseas passport holders in Hong Kong. Some British lawmakers want Chinese officials to be the next target of so-called Magnitsky sanctions, new legislation which enables asset freezes and travel bans. Hong Kong's chief executive, Carrie Lam, could be first in line.
Carrie Lam, as I understand it, whose family have British passports, needs to be made very clear to her that the action she has taken in line with the Chinese government make it very difficult for us to deal with her.
Duncan Smith says China should be confronted on multiple other issues.
The Uyghur population and forced sterilization and incarceration. You've got the problem with Hong Kong, with them stripping away the rights of people to protest and to comment, which is astonishing, really. Their threats around Taiwan, their control of the South China Seas, even when the UN tells them to get out. Their border clashes with India, and their complete disregard of the rights of anybody in China who disagrees with them.
The United States last week hit three Chinese officials with sanctions over their alleged involvement in the persecution of Uyghurs. China has reacted angrily and says other countries should not interfere in what it calls internal affairs.
In Beijing's perspective, Xi Jinping cannot be wrong. Xi Jinping can never admit he makes mistakes, and therefore it's very unlikely that China will revise its policy towards either Hong Kong or, for that matter, the UK.
Britain, the United States and their allies are testing their leverage against China, a measure of global power as tensions rise between East and West. Henry Ridgewell for VOA News, London.
These are among some of the top Asia headlines that you'll find right now when you visit voanews.com. The United States says China's claims in South China Sea completely unlawful. China warns weekend vote may have violated Hong Kong's new national security law. Small businesses worldwide fight for survival amid pandemic. Google plans to invest $10 billion in India. You'll find expanded coverage of all these stories and much more on Facebook at VOA Asia and, of course, at the voanews.com website. We continue with VOA Asia. I'm Jim Stevenson in Washington. It is still unclear if many U.S. students will be heading back to schools and universities at the beginning of the school year. But the situation is graver for international students. Lacia Bakaletz has the story narrated by Anna Rice.
This is the Catholic University of America in Northeast Washington, D.C. Russian student Lisa Britova plans to come here in August if she can get her visa in time.
Right now, the U.S. consulate in Moscow is now issuing visas, any visas at all except for flight attendants who don't need an interview. And since student visas require an interview, you can't get a visa without one. Right now, we don't know when the interviews will resume.
A student from Ukraine, Alexei Antonyuk, got admitted into Yale and is supposed to start in the fall. For him, the visa issue is also a crucial one.
My visa interview was scheduled for July 8th, but in mid-June, it was rescheduled because of the pandemic. New dates were opened starting from August 3rd, so I signed up for August 4th.
Antonyuk is a Ukraine Global Scholars Program finalist, so he doesn't need to pay for his education in the U.S. The program helps talented students get scholarships in top U.S. colleges. In 2020, there are only 31 such students. If they fail to get their visas in time, they will lose a total of $7 million in scholarship funds.
No one has experienced a COVID pandemic before, so universities might review their decisions, allow students to keep the scholarships and try to reapply the following year. But past experience shows that if a student couldn't get a visa, he or she lost the funding.
Another issue that is equally important for international students is the format of education. If universities will only have online classes, the students won't be granted a visa. That's the decision of the U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement.
Before the student applies for a visa, they are issued what's called a Form I-20 from the school. They go to the U.S. Embassy with the Form I-20 to apply for the visa. So the latest announcement that you just referenced gives instructions to the institutions that are issuing these visa documents. On the Form I-20 itself, that document, the school has to verify that they are in person, that there will be hybrid or in-person classes being offered.
This decision also impacts the students with existing student visas. If their university switches fully to online education, they will have to leave the U.S. Harvard and MIT have already sued the Trump administration, disputing these new rules. Students also say it is more beneficial for them to take even online classes while remaining on campus as opposed to at home.
Time difference affects studying a lot because classes start in the morning and some classes start in the evening. In Moscow, it's midnight or even 2 a.m., so that doesn't work for me.
You need to take campus life into account. At Yale, it is a very important part of studying. If I need to talk to a professor in person, I can always do that if I live on or near campus.
If you are waiting and you have the option to do online education, and if that works for you, if that's a modality of online education that works for you, I would encourage you to do that. And then when things open back up again, that'll be your opportunity to come here and be, you know, experience it yourself.
Universities say they're eager to see international students as much as they were a year ago. At the same time, they're perfecting their online programs, taking into account the fact that students can be in different parts of the world.
So that way, if it's offered synchronously, then students can, of course, you know, log in at the time of the lecture, or it might be where they're recording their lecture, post it on it's Canvas, so it's kind of the online tool for engagement. You'll have discussion forums. So, you know, a faculty member, you know, rather than having, say, a live discussion, what they might do is pose a question or pose, you know, an idea. And then students then are encouraged or asked to then respond. And then students then are asked to respond back.
Every year, the U.S. welcomes about 1 million international students. In the past, their contribution into the U.S. economy made up about $41 million. Олеся Бакалец in Washington, NRI's VOA News.
Happening now in Asia, the United States says China's claims to offshore resources across most of the South China Sea are completely unlawful, as is Beijing's campaign of bullying to control them. The Court of Arbitration in 2016 rejected China's maritime claims as having no basis in international law. China dismissed the ruling. Stay up to date with VOA. You're listening to VOA Asia. We're glad you could join us for VOA Asia. Campaigners fear the coronavirus outbreak could adversely affect the world's environment because of an increase in single-use personal protective equipment, or PPE. From biodegradable plastic-free visors to reusable face masks, a group of companies in the UK are finding sustainable solutions in the ongoing COVID-19 pandemic. We hear more from VOA correspondent Mariama Diallo.
Discarded plastic gloves tossed by the roadside and filling bins are a reminder that the COVID-19 pandemic isn't over. As countries try to protect their citizens, demands for PPE has gone up exponentially.
I think all of us are very aware of this massive ramp up in plastic production that really is in the name of COVID-19. And one of the major uses of that has been to create plastic PPE.
Sean Sutherland is the co-founder of the group A Plastic Planet. According to them, nearly 750 million items of PPE were distributed to UK frontline staff from late February until mid-April.
Single-use, ripped off, put in the bin, exists forever unless they're burnt. We need to replace those with something that's much more nature-friendly.
As shown here, using materials other than plastic, Real Brands, a sustainable packaging firm, has recently started producing more than 1 million visor units a week since the beginning of June. Ian Bates, a company co-founder, explains.
It's made entirely of compostable and sustainable materials. So the visor, the clear part, is made of wood pulp, made from trees. It's incredible that it's clear, but that's the case. And this, of course, is made of cartonboard. And we've designed it so that it would be as simple as possible. So you take it out of the pack, it arrives flat like that. You don't need assembly instructions. You just pop it in like that and straight on your head.
They also plan to produce gowns and gloves. Like Real Brands, other companies are also trying to do their parts by offering more sustainable PPE options, including UK-based Ocean View Mask with its VP195 reusable face mask. The company claims the three-layer mask can be washed up to 30 times. Nicole McDermott, Chief Operating Officer.
The idea that so many of these masks are disposable, you can wear them for one day and have to be put in the bin, just seems madness. For a key part of our wardrobe to be disposable, it's not sustainable.
Discarded PPE items could add to an estimated 13 million tons of plastic that flows into our ocean every year, according to a 2018 United Nations report. Mariama Diallo, VOA News.
After you listen to VOA Asia, you can see VOA Asia. VOA Asia is on YouTube. see and share the fun with Food Bites, our weekly culinary dive into foods from the homeland, recipes that came with chefs who immigrated to the United States. Students enrolling in U.S. schools can get their first lessons about life on campus. Subscribe for free. See us often at VOA Asia YouTube.
This news from VOA Asia. The Japanese defense minister says several problems were discovered in measures to prevent the spread of infectious diseases at U.S. military bases in the country. More than 90 coronavirus cases have been confirmed at U.S. military bases on Okinawa. You'll find all the big stories throughout the day on VOA Asia Twitter and Facebook. This is VOA Asia. It's time for VOA Asia Business Scene with Ira Melman.
The Tokyo Art Exhibit opened to enthusiastic visitors, but many of those circulating were not just there to soak in some culture. They were there casing the joint for a midnight raid. Hours after the gallery closed for the night, a crowd had gathered ready to pounce on the artwork. The police station was nearby, but officers only intervened for crowd control because all the pieces at the Stealable Art Exhibition were up for grabs. The event was intended as an experiment to alter the relationship between artists and visitors, according to organizers. It was originally conceived as a low-key event that might attract some covert thievery, but word spread so fast on social media that a crowd of nearly 200 people packed the streets near the gallery, hoping for a chance to grab a prize. Would-be robbers were told they could raid the gallery from midnight, but the crowd was so big that the theft started half an hour early, and the exhibition that had been billed as running for up to 10 days was emptied of art in less than 10 minutes. Yasuki Hasada was a rare winner, gripping a crumpled 10,000 yen banknote in a frame, which was part of the My Money installation by Gabin Ito.
I have a space for my art at my house, so I want to hang this somewhere in the space.
Even after the exhibit was emptied out, would-be thieves continued arriving, forcing a nearby police station to dispatch officers for crowd control. Going to the dentist in the Philippines has gotten a whole lot more complicated. Before patients even get close to the dentist chair, there's a strict safety procedure to follow. They are asked to fill in a health declaration form days prior to the appointment, giving the clinic a chance to screen potential virus carriers and to refer them for more medical assistance if needed. After an almost three-month lockdown, the Philippine government has allowed medical establishments like dental clinics to open from June, but only for non-aesthetic procedures. Rainier Reyes, a partner of the Asian Center for Dental Specialties and the dean of the College of Dentistry at the National University, says there was a lot of demand for treatment during lockdown.
We have five-stage filters, the HEPA, plasma, ion, UV, and the last is the ULPA filter, which filters out 0.1 of a micron, okay? Now, with that 0.1 of a micron, we're more or less assured because the coronavirus is 0.16, okay? So therefore, even if it's sucked out, it won't be pushed out anyway.
This clinic has had to increase its fees by up to 1,000 Philippine pesos, just over 21 U.S. dollars per treatment, to cover investment in the new safety equipment. With no end in sight for the pandemic, Reyes has come to terms that their new protocols are here to stay. For Business Scene, I'm Ira Melman.
Coronavirus questions. Can the virus be spread by mosquito bites? Is there a vaccine or medication that prevents it? Is there any medicine that cures it? The answer to all of the questions is no. The best steps to take, wash your hands, cover your cough, stay at home if you are sick or advised to by local authorities.
Now on VOA Asia, so far the coronavirus pandemic has caused more than a 500,000 deaths in its sweep around the world. What is not included is the impact on the health of mothers, newborns, young children, and adolescents. Because of the pandemic, health care for women and children has been cut by 20%, and the result is rising death rates and poorer health in these groups. VOA's Carol Pearson tells us more.
It's nighttime in Nairobi, and a pregnant woman is in labor. An ambulance service started by health workers takes her to the hospital. When the government imposed a curfew to contain the coronavirus pandemic, doctors noticed an increase in deaths of women giving birth alone at home. So they moved into action to save women's lives.
Maternity-related cases has gone higher. On average, we're doing 2 calls per night.
What's happening in Nairobi is happening worldwide, even in rich countries. A UN report shows that health services are being taken away from women, children under the age of 5, and adolescents in order to fight the coronavirus pandemic. The consequences are devastating.
Initial estimates are projecting that we're going to see major impact on under 5 mortality rates for newborns, for maternal mortality, the numbers of malnourished children, children who are exposed to abuse and violence, critical loss of access to women's health, etc. So the estimates are quite dire.
The report estimates that nearly 400 million children are going hungry because they're missing meals at schools that are closed. 13 million children are missing vaccinations. Some parents are afraid to take their children to get their shots, and some countries have a shortage of vaccines.
The risk of a new and renewed outbreak of measles, polio, and all these other infectious diseases is actually real, and it's something that we need to be prepared for.
The report also finds that women and girls worldwide are experiencing higher rates of abuse, increased pregnancies, less access to reproductive services, and along with that, more mothers are dying from complications of childbirth. Dr. Ali Pui says a vaccine, once developed, will end the COVID-19 crisis. But rich countries, he says, will have to help the poorer countries strengthen their health systems because the pandemic will leave the poor even more destitute than before. Carol Pearson, VOA News, Washington.
Virtual reality experiences transport and thrill viewers, immersing them in a world full of new sights and sounds. But what about taste? One artist is attempting to bring the sense of taste to VR. Tina Trin reports.
Virtual reality's immersive experience is a sensation for the eyes and ears. Now, Aero Banquet's RMX will target your taste buds.
It's one of the first experiments where we are mixing VR and food.
At the James Beard House in New York, Mattia Casaleño has created a VR dining experience that lets guests taste food in a new way.
We are so much used to eat with our own eyes, of course, right? Whenever we go to a restaurant, for example, we sort of already have an idea of how things might taste like, right? If I order a particular item versus particular things, I start to have expectations.
With this VR experience, guests should expect the unexpected.
Think of the first time you ever bit your lip. This is what it tastes like.
In virtual reality, the quote-unquote food is represented by abstract 3D shapes that correspond to real-life bites prepared on site. Guests can interact with these virtual shapes and forms and then literally eat them.
I think it tastes like the whistle that the wind makes blowing through a door lock on a cold autumn afternoon.
I think nobody can actually explain this concept to anybody in words. You have to experience it.
Actions in the physical world correspond with those in VR via motion tracking cameras in the headset.
We are able to bridge the gap between the virtual world and the real world and what impact it has when you introduce food into this experience. All of a sudden, the virtual world no longer, it felt less virtual.
Having that, like, disconnection but reconnection with food through this digital representation of it made you kind of like think about flavor and texture and sensation in a different way.
A feast for all of the senses. Tina Trin, VOA News, New York.
We're very happy you spent time with us today on VOA Asia. You may continue by visiting us online. We're on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and YouTube, all under the VOA Asia name. We'll see you there. I'm Jim Stevenson. We're in Washington. We hope you have a great day ahead. Be safe. Be well.